Yo, welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live. We are your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, the current breaking news, culture, traumatic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Yesterday, really, I think it was a really interesting day because basically what happened was the Bitcoin Policy Institute, shout out David Zell, doing a great job. And basically, they presented the Bitcoin Policy Summit. It was a one-day event, and it had a lot of predominant politicians there, from Cynthia Lummis, Ted Cruz, Tom Emmer, but you also had industry leaders, like Bitcoin industry thought leaders, Bitcoin industry entrepreneurs. You had Jack Maulers, you had Alex Gladstein, you had Matthew Pines, you had Troy Cross, and many, many more. And basically what they were making the case for is they're making the case for Bitcoin, and they're making the case as to why Bitcoin is necessary, why it's necessary for the United States to have a friendly stance towards Bitcoin, to allow Bitcoin adoption in the US, specifically to keep the US as a world leader, or in the hopes of that. The reality is that many countries are now seeking alternatives to the US dollar to facilitate international trade. And why are they doing that? They're doing that because the U.S. abused their privilege, this crazy privilege of being the world reserve currency that gives the U.S. government this unique ability of being able to create, like, print money like crazy without, you know, undergoing hyperinflation. And they abused that privilege. They weaponized the money to go after political opponents. And then it's basic human incentives, right? What did those political opponents do? When I say political opponents, I mean Russia. I mean, China, obviously they seek an alternative. So Jack Maulers had a keynote. He had a presentation as to why he was making the case as to why it is a strategic necessity for the US to adopt something like Bitcoin. So that's what we're going to talk about during the news today. And during the numbers, I have something on the exact opposite end of the spectrum. Basically, this guy testifying in front of the New York State Assembly, just all the crazy things that were coming out of his mouth, basically why we need bigger blocks, as to if we don't have bigger blocks, it is very, Bitcoin is very inefficient. And it's just, I can't believe we are in 2023 and these people are still taken seriously. It just absolutely blows my mind. And the reason I want to play that video is because we all remember the law that the New York State passed, basically being extremely hostile towards Bitcoin miners, basically making it illegal to mine Bitcoin in New York. They pass a moratorium, which is funny, though, because the governor waited until after the election to sign in the law. So just very interesting stuff. But before we start the show, I want to bring up my legendary co-host, always optimistic. How you doing, Opti?
I'm good. I don't know if you saw me, but you're cracking me up. I haven't seen these videos, but I'm excited today. Usually I kind of get a little glimpse of the videos before, but today I saw them circulating and I just, you know, I was caught up watching some TED Talks for like nothing to do with Bitcoin. Sometimes you got to unplug a little bit, but man, I'm excited for today. It is Thursday, bro. We almost made it another week. So
yeah, almost. We're almost across the finish line. Yeah,
let's hope we don't blow up today.
So let's bring up our guest, Steve. How you doing, Steve? Welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Happy to have you. So Opti, why don't you tell everybody before we get into numbers what we're going to talk about during the culture?
Yeah, so I got a few tweets over here from Steve's Twitter, and I asked him a question before, and it's kind of a theme that I've been jumping on for a long time on this channel and on Twitter Spaces. It's the idea of trying to, you know, bring Bitcoin back to basics so the everyday person can understand Bitcoin. And I teed him up with a totally what I thought a relevant question, and we got into it. So I'm going to just do the same thing, and then we'll have the conversation live. I think people will enjoy this one.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this episode. Anyways, everybody, no more delay. Let's jump straight into the numbers. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home.
And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today.
All right, everybody, else I want to tell you about the biggest Bitcoin conference on the face of the earth. We're talking about, of course, there's no other one, Bitcoin 2023, and it's coming up in less than a month. You have to get your tickets quickly. The prices do increase. It's going to be in Miami Beach, Florida, May 18th through the 20th, 2023, and you could use the discount promo code simply to get yourself a major discount. The future of Bitcoin starts at Bitcoin 2023. Let's go through some of the speaker list. We have Arthur Hayes, we have Michael Saylor, we have Michael Lewis, we have Alex Gladstein, we have Tulsi Gabbard, we have Adam Back, we have Eric Weinstein, we have Casey, the creator of Ordinals, Jack Mahler, Stacey Herbert, Lynn Alden. We have a member of government from the country of Indonesia, a country that has 237 million people, and he's on the top speaker list. So is he going to make announcements similar to Nayib Bukele? I don't know, but it's interesting that he's at the top. And of course, we have the Bitcoin Senator, we have Cynthia Lummis, we have Jeff Booth, Alex McShane, we have Natalie Smolinski, Saifedean, and many, many more. If you're looking to get a job in the industry, I definitely recommend going to Bitcoin 2023. You can use the promo code simply to get yourself a 10% discount. Get your tickets quickly. The conference starts in less than 1 month. At the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 29,070 sats per dollar, 3,440 block height, 787,232 reachable Bitcoin nodes, 17,096 blocks to halving, 52,768 halving estimate, April 22nd, 2024 total Lightning network capacity, 5,369 Bitcoin. Capacity value, $156 million, and the realized monetary inflation is 1.75%. If you guys noticed from yesterday, it did go down a percentage point. And if you compare that to fiat currencies, Bitcoin continues to take them to absolute school. And that number will continue to go down forever, Laura. Market capitalization of Bitcoin, $562 billion with a B. Anyways, let's talk about New York. Right. The state of New York specifically. So we all remember this. Right. So and it apparently they gathered enough political willpower in order to effectuate this ban. And what I'm talking about is that New York State passed a ban that would partially ban Bitcoin mining, specifically proof of work mining. Right. And for anyone who doesn't know, specifically in upstate New York, there's a tremendous amount of hydroelectricity, hydropower. And that power is isolated. It's very far away from the city. Therefore, you know, there was a lot of supply, but there's not that much demand. That means the prices of electricity were very, very cheap. And if they were being used, as is the case to the people that are basically anti-Bitcoin mining, the price would be very high. Therefore, it'd be uneconomical for Bitcoin miners to use that power, right? So again, you know, it's an educational issue, but as long as you have people testifying in government, making these crazy, I'm going to play you a clip. And this guy actually testified in front of the New York State Assembly. And holy crap, like he if you don't know about Bitcoin, this guy sounds like what he knows what he's talking about. But if you know, he gets so many things wrong. Anyways, I'm going to play you guys a clip and then we'll talk about it. It seems to me that he's a fan of BSV and Bitcoin Cash. I'll let you guys be the judge. Let's check it out.
How much BTC, Bitcoin, that most people are trading as a cryptocurrency, how much energy it's utilizing. The reality is Bitcoin BTC, which has a 1 megabit block every 10 minutes, which collects data, right? Is limited to how much data it can actually use, so it does not scale. So it actually does 7 transactions per second. If we were all to do email, to share email with a technology that does 7 transactions per second, none of us would ever receive that email. The reality is Satoshi Nakamoto said that Bitcoin could scale beyond the likes of Visa from day one. What hasn't happened is there was that 1 megabit limit that was put on the block size early in the network history to prevent spamming of the network and allow the infrastructure to grow. This has not been removed by BTC, which is the prominent Bitcoin, tradable asset. But there's a confusion about what Bitcoin was originally. Bit refers to data, coin finance. Obviously, today, a lot of people are just speaking about the coin aspect. But Bitcoin is the fusion of data and finance, where if you remove that 1 megabit limit and have an unbounded block size every 10 minutes, now you're able to actually have from BTC, which is about 1,200 kilograms of CO2 per transaction, which is absolutely ridiculous. But down to other competing protocols that use proof of work, scalable proof of work like BSV, that does less than 2 kilograms of CO2 per transaction, even today. And that's because of the unbounded amount of transactions that can be included into a block. Meaning, if a plane was going from New York to Miami and you only had 300 seats, that's all you're going to fit in there. It's going to take the same amount of energy as you want. But if you're going to take that same plane and you could fit as many people as you wanted in there comfortably, right, safely.
Try that.
That same carbon footprint for each person starts to go down.
Okay. So first of all, carbon footprint, right? It's like the go-to. It's like the buzzword, right? 1,200 kilograms CO2 per transaction. But if you increase the block size and if you use this currency called BSV, which the free market has determined it does not want, right? You decrease, the climate impact. Well, do you guys remember Pierre Richard's video? He put a CO2 meter behind a Bitcoin ASIC, right? And Bitcoin miners don't release CO2. So again, it's like it's a misrepresentation. Right. And this other aspect where he's like, Bitcoin doesn't scale. That's what the Lightning Network's for. Right. And most importantly, and I really want to focus on this debate because I think a lot of people that are getting into Bitcoin don't quite understand, which is this idea of bigger blocks. If you had bigger blocks, it wouldn't be as decentralized as it is today. If you look at Ethereum is so resource intensive, there's only a handful of people that could run those nodes because it's so expensive. So what tends to happen is a lot of people actually run those nodes, Ethereum nodes, on server farms. And server farms are prone to government capture, right? Because there's only a handful of companies. This is already happening. Since Ethereum migrated to proof of stake, the vast majority of Ethereum validators are actively censoring for the Office of Foreign Asset Control. The reason that that Bitcoin's blocks are the size they are is so that the barrier to entry to run your own node is low enough so that the average common everyday person could run their own version of Bitcoin, therefore making it more decentralized, therefore making it less prone to government capture. If you want to separate money from state, decentralization is the most important. It's the most important feature. It's the most important thing that you need, right? So what all these shit coins do, whether it's BSV, bigger blocks, what are the unintended consequences of bigger blocks? The unintended consequences of bigger blocks, meaning that it requires more resources, more hardcore hardware in order to run that version of Bitcoin. Therefore, the barrier to entry is higher. Therefore, there's only a handful of people that can afford to do that, right? Therefore, making it prone to government capture, right? So the block size is the way it is so that more people could run their own nodes. That's how it's supposed to be. And then this idea of like, oh, Bitcoin can't scale. It's like, holy crap, we've had this argument or this debate a million times. I don't know if you guys have used the Lightning Network. It's freaking fast. It's instantaneous. It's literally lightning. It's like this, right? And lightning is perfect for small transactions, right? So if you're getting coffee at the coffee shop and you want to pay instantaneously, Lightning is for you. So the second layer is what is going to scale Bitcoin. But on the base layer, you need something strong. You need something decentralized, right? Because if it's not decentralized, it will inevitably be co-opted by government. If it will be co-opted by government, then you can't have the separation of money and state. Problem is that when these types of individuals go to state assemblies, or in that specific case, the New York State Senate, you can be sure that a lot of people in the New York State Senate, you know, bless their hearts, right? Or they're older people. They don't know what he's saying. They don't have the technical know-how to be like, oh, you're right. If you're hearing what he's saying, it sounds like common sense. Like, yeah, let's make the blocks bigger. Yeah, it's going to reduce the carbon. Why not do this? This is so ridiculous. Look, that guy is wrong. There's a lot more nuance to the argument. We've broken down some of it. But most importantly, he's a BSV shill. So he definitely has BSV bags that he's holding because that's the one he recommended specifically. So how much did Craig Wright pay this guy to go? And there you go. Thanks, Opti, for pulling it down. I even pulled that up myself. Public policy director of BSV blockchain. It's interesting. And if you actually, but look how much they cover themselves up though. Because if you look at the testimony, I'm not going to play it, but just look at the title he has.
To how much BTC Bitcoin that most people are trading.
Global policy director Bitcoin Association. It doesn't say a BSV association, you know? So again, misrepresentations, lies, spin. And yeah, man, it is a headache dealing with these people. It is really, really a headache with the dealing with these people. The lies, the spin, just wrong, bro. He's just wrong. And he's not talking about the nuance. He's not talking about the pros and cons. He's not talking about the unintended consequences of making the block size bigger. And those are all debates and conversations you need to have. There's a reason Satoshi made the block size the way it is. And there's a reason that the Bitcoin community has fought so hard against that. Decentralization above all. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts on this, brother?
Well, what year is this? Like, are we back in 2017? Like, I can't believe that people are still saying this stuff and just being completely blind to the developments on Bitcoin. You know, we've had SegWit. We see that Lightning is taking off. Like, Lightning simply works. And these shitcoiners are still out here saying that Bitcoin can't scale. Like, we are seeing it scale in real time. It's just... What's the Mike is going to have to correct me because I know he's in the chat. I think it's Brandolini's law. You know, the amount of effort it takes to correct a bunch of bullshit is magnitudes more than it is to spread the truth. And here we are again, just continuously having to have these rehashing these conversations. You know, like it's complete trash. And this guy trying to use Bitcoin as his cover, you know, part of the Bitcoin Association, like no one speaks for Bitcoin. This is the beauty of Bitcoin. Bitcoin works, and they can try to co-opt the real Bitcoin, but they forked off. Like, they've lost. I think the free market has chosen very clearly that Bitcoin BSV is not Bitcoin, BTC, if I have to like make it clear. But someone wanted to kind of clear up the block size and why some blocks are 4 megabytes. Well, SegWit was an upgrade, guys, and it introduced block weight, which increases the Bitcoin block from 1 megabyte to 4 megabytes, guys. So this is why you're seeing this happen. Like, Bitcoin is scaling in real time, and people can basically use old data, old narratives to try to talk smack on Bitcoin. But Bitcoin is very clearly winning on the free market, and nothing else competes to Bitcoin, whether it's on the hash rate, whether it's on the liquidity, whether it's on the nodes. Everything is a shitcoin. There's Bitcoin and there's shitcoins. And I think this is kind of to your point, Nico, that we always talk about here, the importance of having people at these hearings with clear information and not just straight up shitcoin shills. Like, I know it's not going to be me and you because we're just talking heads on YouTube, but man, I think it's never been clearer than what we are seeing. And it really blows my mind that we are still having these conversations, what, 5-6 years after they've already been thoroughly destroyed. It's absolutely nuts, man.
Yeah, 100%. Anyways, before we move on, Steve, what's your take on all this, bro?
Oh, wait, hold on. I think I...
Well, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I've spent my entire career as a wildlife biologist in that environmental space, I guess you would say. And so coming from that, whenever you hear environmental arguments, watch out, because, you know, there's obvious corruption in there. And that's my first thought on any time we're talking about energy usage, you know, within these systems. And, you know, Nico, I'm a little older than you guys, and you know, still I can understand what's going on here. And so just, you know, you just got to be leery of any of this and always look at what is the motivations, you know, behind it. And that's really the takeaway for me on this and good job, you know, researching, you know, where this guy's coming from too.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta do your own research. You gotta take personal responsibility, stop outsourcing the personal responsibility of the storage of your wealth and stop outsourcing the personal responsibility of seeking information, you know? And I think we are in where we are today because a lot of people have been outsourcing that to the legacy corporate media or to banks. And if the majority of the people on planet Earth took personal responsibility, took the self-custody of their wealth, seek their own information without trusting just, you know, these sources, I think we'd live in a more peaceful, prosperous world. But I think we're heading in that direction. I think that it's inevitable. I think that you can't stop this transition that we're all living through. A lot of people call it the fourth turning. Some people in the sovereign individual, they call it basically the transition into the information age. I do believe we're in the very, very beginnings of that transition. And I think the people that, you know, the people that are going to be hurt the most, the people that are going to be left behind, are the people that are going to still be trusting in these archaic institutions that clearly have shown that they don't have the best, they don't have your best interest at heart. Anyways, everybody, let's move on to the news. We have a lot to talk about. Let's check it out.
The Daily News.
The Daily News is brought to you by Blockstream Jade. Built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Check out the brand new limited edition color, the transparent green jade. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gap Bitcoin transactions, scan and display QR codes directly on the device, assign transactions, and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. All right, guys, I also want to give a shout out to our new sponsor, the Orange Pill app, Stack Friends who stack sats. Are you in a city and you don't know any Bitcoiners around you? You got to download the Orange Pill app. Did you move to a new city and you don't know any Bitcoiners around you in your local area, but you don't have anything in common with people that haven't taken the Orange Pill? They're operating on a whole different operating system. You got to download the Orange Pill app. That's how you're going to find Bitcoiners near you. It's also the number one resource for Bitcoin-only events. You can create a Bitcoin-only event. You could find a Bitcoin-only event near you. Search by location, by date. Are you going to be in Miami? I'm sure your day will be full of amazing speakers and talks, but what are you going to do at night? There's nothing worse than being in a city full of Bitcoiners, but you are in your hotel watching TV. Hop on the Orange Pill app events page and find all the Bitcoiner events on the fly. Download it right now. It's absolutely free. Download the Orange Pill app. I'm on there. Opti's on there as well. Anyways, I want to talk about what happened yesterday, the Bitcoin Policy Summit. Over the next couple of days, we're going to play you clips from Ted Cruz. We're going to play you tips from Cynthia Lummis, the Bitcoin senator. We're going to play you. And then today we're going to play a clip from Jack Maulers. And we're going to talk about today about the case that I would make that the U.S. has to stop going the route of China, has to stop going the route of let's implement a central bank digital currency, and it has to go back to its free market roots. Let individuals decide what money they want to use. I think I would even make the case that it is of strategic importance for the United States and the U.S. government to be friendly to Bitcoin businesses, attract Bitcoin businesses rather than pushing them overseas to their political opponents. It would be a catastrophic mistake for the United States now, specifically now that the U.S. is starting to lose its world reserve currency status and as countries are vying to seek an alternative. We're going to go into literally as to how the IMF tried to force Argentina, which is currently enduring 104% inflation. They tried to coerce Argentina and say, hey, we'll only give you a bailout if you de-incentivize the adoption of Bitcoin. That backfired. Right. It also backfired in Nigeria. The Nigerian government tried to instill capital controls. They tried to force people into central bank digital currencies, and people chose not to. They chose to use an alternative. And that alternative in a lot of these cases is Bitcoin. And the reason for that is simple. Central bank digital currencies do not solve the inflation problem. If there's an alternative that not only does it not decrease in purchasing power over time, it actually increases in purchasing power over time. What do you think people are going to choose? So anyway, so we're gonna play the Bitcoin Policy Summit. It was also presented by Swan. It was featured. The whole live stream is on the Swan Bitcoin channel if you guys want to see the whole thing. But here are some questions, some very important points as to, you know, why Bitcoin could benefit the United States, right? So first off, it says stories about Bitcoin are often negative. We hear concerns about how it harms the environment, threatens national security, and hurts consumers, helping only criminals and speculators. This conference aims to tell the stories about Bitcoin that so often go untold. How Bitcoin is a human rights tool used in the struggle for democracy and global freedom. How the U.S. can leverage Bitcoin as a strategic asset to achieve its geopolitical goals. How Bitcoin could serve as a unique stabilizer of energy grids and unlikely player in our country's renewable energy future. It's time to separate fact from fiction and situate Bitcoin in serious policy discussions involving national security, energy infrastructure, global competitiveness, and financial inclusion. And I would like to emphasize that last one, financial inclusion. The current system, the current traditional fiat system cares what country you happen to be born in. It cares what your skin color is. It cares what your religion is. It's exclusive. If you happen to be born in a country, you are not entitled to US to use the US dollar. Bitcoin doesn't care where you're from. It doesn't care what your political ideology is. It doesn't care what your religion is, what your skin color is. It is the most equitable and equal money the world has ever seen, not to mention inclusive as well. So I'm going to play you a clip by Jack Maulers, and then we're going to talk about it. And Jack Maulers is making the case as to why the U.S. needs Bitcoin as a matter of strategic competitiveness. Let's check it out.
Superior technology actually benefits the American individual. And now I think we need to very, very seriously talk about the strategic opportunities for us as a nation and the security risks, quite frankly. If you're going to sit here and tell me that the internet is not core to our nation's security risks, I'm going to move. So, you may have heard that Bitcoin is not crypto. Hopefully, my presentation made this a little bit more clear. Again, I think a really good framework for reference is that Bitcoin acts as public infrastructure, not a corporation. So there is no development team that you're waiting on a feature. You know, there's no fundraising marketing team that would make the coin go higher. It acts as a public utility. It's digital infrastructure. So it is not crypto. It can help stabilize our energy grid. It can offset excess energy. It can incentivize energy use that is very difficult otherwise. It can help facilitate industrial development. Ooh, sorry, I'm losing track between the laptop and the screen. Oh. Okay, sorry. Are we good? Can someone give me a thumbs up? Yep. It can provide, I think no one talks about this enough, a new source of national wealth for America. National wealth is categorized as produced capital, human capital, reserve assets. Think about the source of wealth that the internet provided this country. The iPhone was created here, Facebook was created here, Twitter was created here. I think it's very important that people that own Bitcoin, a lot of it, and people that build on top of Bitcoin very well, pay taxes in, where's Cruz, Texas, and not Dubai. I'm being very serious. And it strengthens geopolitical influence. These are important points. So you may have heard a lot of this. Hopefully my presentation helps give you a reference on how to think about this more deeply. What I want to leave this room with is the payments aspect. What I think the U.S. government needs to very, very seriously consider is both how Bitcoin's power can be harnessed and leveraged as a digital public utility, similar to the internet, for national security interests. This technology can't be uncreated. China and Russia will be using this in 1 to 5 to 10 to 100 years, whether we like it or not, and that's okay. But we need to think about it, and we need to think about it correctly and responsibly. And then I think we need to think about how the payments technology can fix material distortions in our country. And again, I could be wrong. I'm not giving advice. I'm clearly very biased and passionate. But just as an exercise as Americans, this is our duty to not only our country, but to the free world.
Okay, so a couple things in that speech, right? That was a threat. Jack Mueller's made a threat. If the U.S. doesn't embrace Bitcoin, quote, I'm going to move. He also followed it up a little bit later, and he did a hat tip to Ted Cruz. It's very important that Bitcoiners pay taxes in Texas, in the United States, and not Dubai. And he also made it very clear, China and Russia are going to use this. He laid out the case that this is inevitable. You can't change this thing. It's not going away. You adapt or you get left behind. And that is the reality that governments that have been used to having a monopoly on information and a monopoly on currency, this is a reality that they're going to have to face. Specifically in the U.S., now that world governments are starting to wake up to the fact that the U.S. dollar has been weaponized and that the U.S. dollar, that the U.S. government is printing an excessive amount. So countries like China and countries like Russia are seeking alternatives. This is a Reuters article. This is a big deal, specifically for anyone living in the U.S., a lot of the prosperity that the U.S. has today is because it is global reserve currency. Anyways, the name of the article for audio listeners is Yuan Overtakes Dollar to Become Most Used Currency in China's Cross-Border Transactions. For anyone who doesn't know, currently, most countries that, you know, are doing international trade, it doesn't matter what they are. Let's say it's Brazil and South Africa. They will use dollars to facilitate international trade. And the U.S. government has been weaponizing that. They've been using that for political means. But the unintended consequence of that is people and countries are going to start seeking alternatives. And that's exactly what's happening. This is a big deal in this article. It goes on to say that yuan became the most widely used currency for the cross-border transactions in China in March, overtaking the dollar for the first time. Cross-border payments and receipts in yuan rose in a record of $549 billion in March from $434 billion a month earlier, according to a Reuters calculation based on the data from the State Administration of Foreign Exchange. The yuan was used in 48.4% of all cross-border transactions, Reuters calculated, while the dollar share declined to 46.7% from 48.6% a month earlier. Also, this isn't just China. It also seems like other countries like Brazil, like Argentina, are looking at the Chinese yuan as an alternative to the dollar. Here's an article from Reuters as well. Argentina to pay for Chinese imports in yuan rather than dollars. And here is an article from Forbes Digital Assets. And this is a big win for us, right? And this is something that I was talking about. This is something that I was mentioning earlier on in the news segment about, listen, you can try to coerce people as much as you want, but when it comes down to either putting food on the table or using your hyperinflated money for patriotic reasons, most people are going to choose putting food on the table, and they're going to go tell the guy on TV telling him to use state money to go to hell. And that's just the reality, okay? So here's the article, and it's written by a Bitcoiner also. Shout out Javier Bastardo, or on Twitter, known as Crypto Bastardo. Name of the article, the headline is Crypto Usage Rises Across Argentina Despite the Anti-Crypto IMF Deal. And the same thing happened in Nigeria. You're starting to pick up a pattern here, right? So here is this article that we read you a while ago. And this is something that Jack Mueller's warned about, right? And you see China rising. You see countries using the yuan. But China's playing both sides. They're being smart, right? Here's Hong Kong's crypto hub ambitions wins quiet backing from Beijing, right? So, you know, for anyone who doesn't know, Hong Kong and China are, you know, it's one country, two systems. So they have two political systems. Hong Kong was a British colony for a long time until it was given back to mainland China. And it looks like they're using that as an experimentation hub, as like, let's benefit from Bitcoin. Let's benefit from crypto. Let's get all these businesses moving here. Right. Let's take advantage of the fact that the U.S. is fighting these businesses, making them scared, making them flee overseas, and let's bring them here. But at the same time, we're going to play both sides, because at the mainland, hey, you know, CBDC all the way. You can't use Bitcoin. It's illegal. So China's playing both sides. The U.S. is only playing one side. In the eyes of the Biden administration, check out this Fox News article. We're going to go into more in depth into it tomorrow. But the headline is, Biden administration is quietly planning for a future where you don't own money. In Biden's future, you will not own CBDC money, and you will have no privacy either. We've covered this tremendously, right? We've covered, in the eyes of the current administration, they want you using a central bank digital currency. They want you using a money of which they can control. Right. So if the U.S. wants to stay ahead economically, if it still wants to remain a power, there's a big pill to swallow. And that the color of that pill is orange, that U.S. bureaucrats are going to have to swallow. The fact is that they're not going to be able to control the monetary policy, therefore the people, the way that they've been used to controlling them for decades and decades. They're being disintermediated on the information front since the advent of social media, the advent of the internet. It's allowed individuals to communicate directly amongst each other without going through intermediaries or gatekeepers of information, better said. And also the advent of Bitcoin, which allows individuals to transact directly with each other without going through intermediaries, therefore making it very difficult for governments to stop to basically capture those intermediaries. So this is the reality that US bureaucrats that are against this movement have to face. And Jack Mueller's made a thinly veiled threat in the very beginning. If you're going to be against this, I'm going to move. You want Bitcoiners paying taxes in Texas and not in Dubai. You cannot stop this thing. I love Opti's quote. I'm going to use it again. You can't ban yourself. You can't ban Bitcoin. You can only ban yourself from Bitcoin. So the unproductive class in DC needs to wake up to this reality. They need to wake up before it's too late. They need to wake up before a lot of these Bitcoin businesses say, enough is enough, I'm leaving. Before enough Bitcoiners wake up and say, enough is enough, I'm leaving. It doesn't benefit me or my family to stay here anymore, right? And this is a case that was laid out in The Sovereign Individual. This is something that I've talked to at length with Robert Breedlove last night on Simply Bitcoin IRL. This is the brave new world that we're heading into. And this old nation state model where they've had this tremendous power over information and money, it is dying. We're seeing it. It is in its heyday. It will not exist in its current form 10, 20 years from now. You either adapt to this new reality or you get left behind. And you know what sucks? And here's the last part, is that the people in power are a lot older. So they're not going to get the brunt end of these actions that they're taking. The millennial and the zoomer class, the class that does not own anything because they've been priced out, because the price of assets go through the roof is when they print all this inorganic money, right? So it is very, very frustrating, but at least we're making some progress. And shout out to the BPI Institute for putting this on in DC. I really hope David Zell gets the funding that he needs to stay in DC, because we do need a Bitcoin lobbying arm there full time, not a Bitcoin and shitcoin lobbying arm, even though Coin Center has done great work in the past. We need a Bitcoin lobbying arm. And I think the Bitcoin Policy Institute is just that. Also, I have to give a shout out to Dennis Porter. He's been doing great work on the state level front, the Satoshi Action Fund. We'll be having him on the show soon as well. But yes, this is the separation of money and state. This is what it's about. We are living through it. Wake up to this reality. And I know the attitude that a lot of Bitcoiners are going to take. Okay. I'm going to address that right in the beginning. I'm going to nip it in the butt. Nico, I don't give a shit. I'm taking Bitcoin into self-custody. I don't care. I run my own node. That's fine, bro. But you still need a place to live and meet space. Okay. And I don't know about you. I'm a first generation American. I moved to this country and I was sold on what this country was. And I think that fiat money in the current legacy financial system has Frankensteined that into something that the original founding fathers never wanted this country to be, right? We need to go back to our roots. And I want to stay here. I want to stand and fight. I want to hold my ground. I don't want to flee. You know, Corey Clipson wrote a piece about this. Michael Saylor said it in the Atlas Gala. He said, I want to be a winner. I don't want to be a martyr. Corey calls it the race to avoid the war. We need a transient. How do you say it, Opti?
Intransigent minority.
Intransigent minority of 10 million Bitcoiners in the United States that in this particular field, in terms of Bitcoin, are unmovable. And if that becomes a reality, that any type of hostile Bitcoin legislation will be impossible to pass. And the comparison that I would make is try to pass a gun law. Good luck. It is literally almost impossible nowadays. Why? Because there's an intransigent minority that are unmovable in that specific field, right? So I think we can get there. This is what it's all about. This is what the peaceful revolution is all about. This is what winning over the hearts and minds of individuals, waking up to the reality that it's not left or right. It is Orange Party versus Green Party. The Green Party is the party of slavery, the party of central bank digital currencies, the party of you'll eat bugs, own nothing, and be happy. And Bitcoin is the party of steak, sunshine, and freedom. Anyways, Opti, what's your take on this, brother?
Well, my first thing is, man, I was going to wear that NRA hat that I got at a thrift shop. It would have been perfect today, but I was tired of people yelling at me in the chat. Anyways, first, Jack Mahler's in a suit and not a hoodie.
He wore a blazer and a hoodie underneath. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I missed that. Okay, well, hey, he's evolving. I think he's evolving. But second, and you covered this very well, like we are seeing the de-dollarization happen in real time. But as a Bitcoiner, more Keynesianism is not going to fix the problem. The problem is the broken monetary system that we are a part of. And of course, like Nico, you and I are the same. We're first generation Americans. And it really does feel like we were rug pulled on the American dream, on the American ideals of freedom. And I'd love to see favorable laws surrounding Bitcoin in the U.S. And I see people in the chat kind of saying like, oh, the U.S. will never adopt Bitcoin. And I always just get reminded of like the Lord of the Rings meme, where it's like they have to throw the ring into the volcano so that they can prosper moving forward. Will they do it? Probably not. But irregardless of everything, we have the ability as individuals to adopt Bitcoin no matter what our stupid government does. And we talk about the sovereign individual thesis almost every single day off air, not only just on air, but we literally say this like to ourselves all the time. Like Nico jokes with me almost every single day. It's like, yo, are we leaving the U.S.? And I'm like, oh, man, it really hurts me.
I mean, but, dude, Jack Mahler said it. He
exactly.
You hear that threat in the beginning? Exactly. He's like, yo, if you guys do this, I'm going to move.
Yeah, right? And that's like that's one of the beauties of Bitcoin, you know, jurisdictional arbitrage. Like Bitcoin is a voluntary permissionless system. We don't need permission to adopt Bitcoin. If you aren't treated well, you can move. You know, Bitcoin to me is as American as the American Revolution. You know, it's about freedom from tyranny. It's about freedom from arbitrary taxes. It's about freedom to go tell someone to go fuck themselves if you're treated bad. Like, that sounds a lot like what the founding fathers fought for in the American Revolution. And it really is just sad to see the tyrannical authoritarian politicians fight Bitcoin tooth and nail because they understand what we understand. It's, you know, they're going to lose the power of basically being the world police if they give up the power of the money printer. And obviously they're not going to do that willingly, but hey, they really don't have a choice. Like, this is a global phenomenon and it would benefit them if they did endorse Bitcoin. And hey, let's just hope it doesn't get that nasty, but you know, I guess I'm not going to hold my breath. And then also, shouts out to Javier for being on Forbes. That's dope. That's right.
Living up, bro. Don't forget about us, bro. Anyways, Steve, comment section says, "Irregardless is not a word. Just FYI, irregardless is definitely a word in Miami. You just haven't been here, so you don't know.
It's a Latino word."
It is definitely a word down here. It was definitely, look up the YouTube video, shit Miami people say. You'll hear regardless 50 Miami, times.
Though. I'm not from Miami.
Maybe it's a Latino thing, bro. I don't know. Anyway, Steve, so I'm very curious about this, right? Because, you know, like you mentioned earlier, right? You're a bit older than us. So you did get to see America in, you know, in its prime, right? It's definitely not what it once was. Do you think that Bitcoin has the potential to bring back, you know, that American dream? Because I saw it in the chat and really, really kind of hurt me. So saying the American dream is dead. And I responded with Bitcoin is the revitalization of the American dream. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I look at how my parents lived in the 70s and 80s. And the type of assets they were, you know, able to own, not, you know, all financed, right? And look at how we have to live now, and it's totally different. I mean, you've seen the erosion of the buying power of the dollar. It's just insane when you look at it. And, you know, really, this is like an epic battle that's setting up, and I'll use that word. You know, you have the orange team, which is the people, right? And then the other team, which is, you know, your ruling class and the established system. And, you know, I liked your comments about, you know, we need to get to that 10 million level that's orange pilled. That's our strength. If you look back through history, this has happened before, right? In the history of mankind, this same setup. And that's what's happening right now. And I think our strength, you know, I don't know how much we're going to gain by trying to educate lawmakers. I don't think, you know, I'm not against that. Obviously, we need to educate everyone. But, you know, they're doing what they're doing for a reason. And it's probably not us, right? That's probably not the reason behind it. So building, you know, our orange pilled folks and getting more people, you know, in the orange pill, I think that's the key to this battle going forward. But yeah, definitely from my perspective, in my lifetime, this is kind of where my hope is now, is Bitcoin. And it's like, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel where all I saw was darkness going forward. So that's really for me, what it's all about is a hope for the future.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, you go to hope.com, Michael Saylor, you know, was parking on that domain for a long time, and it's beautiful. You know, Bitcoin is hope. Bitcoin is hope in these dark times that we're living through, that we're going through nowadays. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the culture. We got a lot to talk about. But before we get to the culture, guys, if you wanna make it over the finish line with your generational wealth, with your Bitcoin, you definitely don't want to store your Bitcoin on, you know, you definitely don't want to store your Bitcoin wallet seed words, you don't want to store them on paper. Paper is prone to water damage. It could be eaten by a dog. It could be eaten by, you know, it could be caught in a fire. You want to store your generational wealth on the BitPlates Domino. It's literally made of steel. You want to store it on steel. It's easy to use, hard to destroy. BitPlates Domino are designed to preserve Bitcoin wallet backup seed words and passphrases made from highly corrosion-resistant 316 marine-grade stainless steel, offering the ultimate protection against extremes of temperatures. And you can use promo code SIMPLY to get yourself a 10% discount, anything on the bitplates.com store. Anyways, everybody, no more delay. Let's get to the culture.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
All right, guys, I also want to tell you about one of our new offers at Swan. Bitcoin is generational wealth, and you can secure your bright orange future with the Swan IRA. Real Bitcoin, no taxes. Swan offers both traditional and Roth options to best fit your needs. Create your IRA and start adding Bitcoin in less than 1 minute. Transfers and rollovers are available. Swan's Bitcoin experts will get you set up with no transfer fees and no minimum balance requirements. This is real Bitcoin, not ETF or other derivative. Get the real thing and get it at Swan. Go to Swan.com/IRA for more details. And if you have any questions, doubts, concerns, you could always send me a Twitter DM and I'll be happy to answer them. Anyways, Opti, what are we talking about today, brother?
I bet. Sorry, I was looking up something because you guys are trolling me in the chat. Anyway, Steve, I asked you this question before we started, and I think this is a great place to start. You mentioned that you are a wildlife biologist, and on a personal level, I was just wondering, is there a connection between biology and Bitcoin? And then you went in on a great little rant, and I didn't want to cut you off, but I had to go in the spaces. So is there, or, you know, what is the connection between biology and Bitcoin, or is there one?
Well, you know, a parallel that I see, as you know, my career has been in wildlife ecology. And so my paradigm, like how I view the world, is from an evolutionary ecology perspective. And so for me, you know, recently I've learned a lot about money, right? Because, you know, it's kind of new to me. I don't have a financial background. But if you look at the history of money, and how it started and the evolution of it, you can parallel that to, you know, biological evolution. And, you know, we've reached perhaps a state of a high degree of evolution in the monetary, you know, system with Bitcoin. And, you know, I think that's something that's really, these are exciting times. And again, it gives us hope that we have maybe finally in the history of money, reached a point where we can truly be sovereign, where we can truly have this independence, and where we can exchange peer-to-peer without, you know, 6-7 hands taking a cut. And to be able to do that with lightning speed, you know, all these advancements, those are, you know, parallel to evolutionary advancements that you might find in an ecosystem with a specialized organism. And so for me, that's kind of interesting. And one of the ways that I looked at it as I started learning, you know, about Bitcoin, again, with no financial background. And, you know, I started learning with the book, Thank God for Bitcoin. And one thing I liked about that book is the first thing it really does is defines money. And, you know, here I am, 53 years old, and I'd never really thought about that. I never had asked, you know, what is money, right? It's just something you use every day. And so that really helped me to kind of understand and get a foundation for Bitcoin. And that's where, you know, I can kind of see it as an evolution of how we exchange, you know, energy.
Absolutely love it. I think you said it better than I could. But when we were talking in the beginning, before we went on air, you mentioned something that I really think about a lot, and it is trying to bring Bitcoin down to the everyday person and trying to explain Bitcoin in a way where you don't get too esoteric, you don't get too think boy on them, and you try to relate the message to them personally so that they understand how they can benefit from it. And you were mentioning earlier that you are a Gen Xer. So how's your orange pill journey been trying to get people your age to adopt Bitcoin? And like not to be an ageist, but like my mom's a Gen Xer as well. And I continuously try to orange pill her. She's loosely orange pilled. So what do you say? And you have a way of saying it like, you know, if my dad understood Bitcoin, I feel like he would say how you're saying it. So first off, what would you say to people your age? And then what would you say to the kids out there?
Well, so one of the problems with us Gen Xers is we like to have things in our hands. We like, you know, something to be tangible. And so I could pull a $20 bill out of my wallet. But then what I like to do is just ask them, well, what is that in your hand? You know, what is it really? It's you know, so let's, if you want to think in literal terms, which is, again, the way Gen Xers like to think, let's do that. And let's talk about what that really is. And then when you use a credit card, right, that's another example. And for most people, Gen Xers included, they often get paid electronically, right? So you have a little bit of a bridge there where you can kind of start to describe, hey, listen, you're just looking at digits on a screen. Maybe you're opening your bank app on your phone. You're really not holding anything material in your hand. And that's kind of a first step, a baby step, if you will, to get someone to kind of start to see, oh, you know, that's right. I'm really, you're really not, you know, my boss or my employer's not coming with a stack of, you know, $100 bills on Friday to hand me for my pay. So we're really already in an electronic world. And sometimes you just need to kind of talk about that a little bit. And that's what I've done with some of my peers. To get them to understand, hey, this is every bit as real as what you're doing. And then let me jump to the next segment and tell you why this is more real than what you're doing, because it's limited. It cannot be produced by the, you know, the waving of a magic wand. So it can't be inflated on any whim. So that's where, for me, kind of the step off into Bitcoin can occur. But you got to start. You got to start where folks understand. And Gen X, we kind of like to grab something and hold it. So
I love it. Yeah, I say it all the time. And I don't know if I said it on the show, but I say it in spaces all the time. I took it from How to Win Friends and Influences. And it's the idea of like bait the hook for the fish you're trying to catch.
And how to win friends and influence people.
Yeah, whatever. What's what I say? That's what I said. anyways, I think it's very important to, you know, give the Bitcoin message in palatable ways that people understand. And like I told you guys in the beginning, I was watching some TED Talks this morning, and it was in the art of storytelling. And one of the ways that they were saying a good story starts with the why. So, Steve, why are you a Bitcoiner, and why do you continuously want to orange pill the world?
So, the reason that I'm a Bitcoiner is I want to protect what I've earned. I don't want to be exploited. I don't want to be taxed in a sneaky way through inflation. And I believe that's the sovereign right of every individual human. And I believe it's an ethical thing. I don't think anybody should be stealing from common people that are out here, you know, putting tires on vehicles, if that's what you do for a living, or maybe you hang sheetrock, right? Whatever you do, that's your energy and you've expended it. You've done the work, and no one else should have the capability at ad nauseum to just steal from a bunch of people. So for me, every time that I can convert a dollar into, you know, a sat, and maybe I'm wrong, but I just feel kind of ethically a little bit better. I feel like it's almost like, this is a Gen Xer, but it's almost like I put a little money in that offering plate at church, right? I took some money away from the evilness in this world, away from the wars that are just run to make money, you know, for the military industrial complex. And maybe in that little movement I've done, I've done some good in the world. So that's what it's about for me. It's about, you know, protecting my sweat, my time, what I've done, and putting it in a place where I know no one else can touch it, because my most treasured, you know, treasured assets, like who I am, no one can really take that.
Uh-oh. Oh, we lost you, Steve. Man, it was just... Oh, there you are. There you are. Hold on. Your audio's off a little bit.
Okay.
Oh, wait. You're back. You're back. Okay. Man, cut you off in the thick of it.
Yeah. Hey, I was going. But yeah, that's what it is for me. I didn't get into Bitcoin as an investment. You know, I'm not buying and selling every day. I'm not a day trader. For me, it's just that hope that we can have fairness and true. I mean, everybody's always talking about equity in the stupid mainstream media, but true equity, like, hey, you know, this is a measure of energy. This is my energy I've expended to be able to, you know, purchase this Bitcoin, and it should be preserved. It shouldn't be stolen from people. And so once I get, you know, when I can describe why I'm into it, and once I get people past some of the basics, that's where I like to go with it.
Absolutely love it. Before we move on, I really love this tweet because I kind of view this the same way. Anytime I hear someone talk smack on Bitcoin, it makes me just know that we're so right about Bitcoin. And you tweeted, every time I hear a politician warn against Bitcoin, I stack more sats. This is the way. Absolutely love it.
Exactly. Yep.
Beautiful. All right. Well, Nico, I do have a bunch of tweets, but we just had a conversation for 15 minutes. So.
No, I love it. I like that.
Yeah, man. Me too. Me too.
All right, everybody, let's get to the culture. We got a lot to talk about. Let's check it out.
Memes.
Isn't that what I said?
No. Just right, go to the memes.
We're even now.
We're in the culture.
Kaboom.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com.
You do the culture. Wow.
I played the culture. All right, memes.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
Wait. Sorry. Wrong one up. I was looking at this.
Oh, man.
Hold on. You know what? Hold on. Before I go on, guys, look at this. I'm over here. I know this isn't the meme review yet, but since I was getting trolled over here, I got to make something very clear.
Show the screen. Show the screen.
I'm showing it. Apparently, irregardless is a word. It's just not a formal word. So, yeah. I don't know. Oh. I didn't verify this, but no matter your feelings about the term, irregardless is a word. Yeah, whatever. Anyways, let's.
Ooh, it is a word in Miami, bro.
It's a word.
What is a word
in North Florida too? So.
Yeah, there we go.
What is a word? What is a word? What is money?
Wow, dude, you're getting meta here. Anyways,
what is money? What is a word?
People were saying in the chat, "Planet Earth goes too much signal. Spooks trying their best to stop the signal, and that's why Steve fell off." And then another one, Rand goes, "The monetary demons attack again." Anyways, you guys know the deal. This is the meme review where we have fun, where we we lighten the mood a little bit. Anyways, tweet to the bullets. Memes are the artillery. We are in an information war. Continue to spread the signal, guys. And, you know, make it relatable. Make it palatable so people understand why you Bitcoin. And this is some of the most powerful ways to get Bitcoin into more people's hands. This is what you're trying to do, is get people to hold Bitcoin. And all my friends out here memeing, continue to meme. Anyways, this first meme is by @PlanMarcus on Twitter. And he goes, study why Bitcoin. And you guys can see here the first, or at the top, it goes, bought Bitcoin and it's a yacht. And then on the bottom, it goes, bought altcoins and it's someone with an iron on the horizon. It may look similar, but there is a difference here. There's Bitcoin and there's shitcoin. And this next meme is by the BTC therapist. And he goes, how long have you hodled BTC? And we got a quote here. Bitcoin is a journey, hodl. And we got some Bitcoiners pushing their Bitcoins up the hill because it is a journey. Anyways, this next one. Shouts out to Alex from Cafe Bitcoin. You know me. I try to avoid saying these terms, but when I can get someone to say it, you know, the monetary demons, or as Alex says here, the world that the lizards would like to see you in is not a world you will want to be in. This is why we Bitcoin. And we got Augustus Carson over here. And you guys have heard this on the show before, but hey, I really wanted to say this one because he called them lizards. And he goes, we don't know who's using a $100 bill today, and we don't know who's using a 1,000 peso bill today. The key difference with the CBDC is the central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability. And also, we will have the technology to enforce that. The world that the lizards would like to see you in is not a world you would want to be in. okay, this next one. This next one is by @Bitcoin on Twitter, and he just goes, $100,000, and we got your car mirror here, and it's got 100K in the mirror, and it goes, objects in mirror are closer than they appear, guys. It's coming, guys. It's almost here. I can feel it. All right, this next meme is by Viva La Vandal, and it goes, hashtag disrespecter, and I really just kind of like this because it looks like some 80s, 90s hip-hop tagging over here, and it goes, Bitcoin Grand Rising, and we got a couple sitting here on a bench, and we got a frog, a Pepe the Frog, and a Guy Fox mask, and then we have the Federal Reserve with an atom bomb explosion through it and dollar bills going everywhere because the Bitcoin Grand Rising is happening in real time. And this next one, actually, I was going to put this one last, but then I added this new one right here by Pierre Rochard. And it goes, buy Bitcoin, Pierre. And he goes, fizzy seltzer water emits more CO2 than Bitcoin mining. And he's got a little Celsius. Okay. All right. This last one is by Sailor. And I think this is why I Bitcoin. This is why I am so adamant about Bitcoin. I really do believe that Bitcoin will help humanity. I really do feel that Bitcoin has gave me hope, that it's gave me a new lease on life, and I'm just forever grateful to Bitcoin. But Sailor over here has just got this picture of someone in an orange fog. It's almost looking like he's on Mars with the Bitcoin logo overlaid over it, or the Bitcoin B overlaid on it. It goes, Bitcoin is destiny. And what do we say all the time? What do Bitcoiners say all the time? All roads lead to Bitcoin, and it's only a matter of time until the intransigent minority inspire the next 15%. And then the world tips on the Bitcoin standard. This is what we're all doing here. This is our destiny here, is just spreading the Bitcoin signal and getting Bitcoin into more people's hands. Anyways, drop your meme review score in the chat and we will cover it live. And for my score today, Nico, my score is a little meta. I'm giving it, it's not a physical object. I'm giving it my 42-hour fast of a 48-hour fast. I might go longer, but currently on 42, maybe 43 hours right now.
You probably feel really good, like clear-minded and shit, huh?
Well, not so much, because apparently I'm saying wrong words and I'm messing up the tweets. And
no, but hey. you always do that.
But yeah, I feel good, bro. I feel lean. I'm feeling fit right now.
Fuck yeah. Okay, so I'm going to give it my old headphones that I've been rocking for a while, the Gunmetal Grays, which now I use for editing. But I'm going back to the original black headphones. Going back to the roots.
Meta.
I don't know. Which ones do you guys like more? Do you guys like the gray ones or the black
ones?
No,
I am a Sony MDR 7506 Maxi.
Those are the OGs. Those are the OGs.
Dude, these are the best. These are the best.
I'm an Audio Technica guy. Anyways, Steve.
Sony Maxi.
Steve, what would you give those memes?
Well, I'm as well. I'm on an intermittent fast right now. I'm not on an extended fast, but I'm sitting at about, let's see, 14 hours. But I do have this coffee that I'm enjoying, and I think that still qualifies as a fast. So
I agree.
I give it about a quarter cup of coffee. I really like the CO2 being released.
Hear that?
That one
Hear that about the coffee, Opti?
Coffee is good. I'm a coffee, black coffee maxi.
Coffee is good. I like coffee. Absolutely. I like coffee. Well, interesting. It seems like everyone drinks coffee, Opti.
Dude, everyone drinks coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to not. Now I'm an addict. I don't know if it's an addict.
Gotta have it.
All right, everybody.
Caffeine is good. Caffeine is good.
Before we get to the scores, I want to give a shout out to our clothing sponsor, RepresentLTD.com. Opti and I wear the merch every single day. New merch drop coming soon. Just talk to David. It's going to be dope. And for the ladies, we're going to have Simply Bitcoin merch for you guys as well. It's awesome. Check out all the other stuff on the RepresentLTD.com store. It's stylish. It's comfy. The sweatpants are great. The shorts are great. And you can use promo code simply-bitcoin. Get yourself a major discount. Anything on the RepresentLTD.com store. Anyways, Opti, let's get to the meme scores. Let's do it.
All right. First meme by Rave Elevator. Meme score. You reading or am I reading?
I give the memes a Jerry Springer show chant. Jerry.
Yeah, I saw this. Did Jerry Springer pass away, apparently?
Oh, man.
Yep.
That's really sad. All right, I turn off the music for that. Elaine Loa, USA adopts Bitcoin. We will all stay put. Life is good for one and all. I mean, dude, that is kind of really sad. I mean, shout out Larry Springer. If that's true.
Jerry.
Oh man, that's kind of.
Wait, are you on a fast, bro? Like,
I don't know. Anyways, Kabak boys, I give it 7 lizard people. Very nice.
Let's go.
Very good score. And we got Ranmore meme score. Chad. Very good. I like that. Next one. HODLcoin, I give the memes a sweet potato for my lunch. It's orange. Very, very nice. Very, very nice. All right, Opti, we got time for 2 more. McLovin, I give the memes 2.5 thumbs up.
That's all we got in here so far. But
it's the buzzer, bro.
Shouts out to, which one? Shouts out to Higher Calling. He is also on a fasting at 13 hours.
Opti, you know what I just realized? You got to get the buzzer on your side because the timer's on your side.
I think I do have one. Okay. It might not be the same one.
Anyways, in the meantime, guys, make sure to join Simply Bitcoin's Telegram group. It's absolutely free. You gotta go to www.t.me/simplybitcointv. Shout out to DarthCoin. He's holding it down. And also, help us stay on the air. Help us stay independent. You could support Simply Bitcoin by subscribing to our Substack. Even though everything we do is free, it's only $7 a month. You got to go to www.simplybitcoin.news. Like I said, everything's free. But if you do want to support the show, it is greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated. Anyways, I want to give a very special shout out to our guest. Thank you so much for joining us today, Steve. Really, really appreciate it. Why don't you tell everybody where they could find you on the interwebs?
Hey, thanks for having me. I hope I brought a little bit of a different perspective. Biologist Barlow, all one word. That's how to find me anywhere. Thank you again.
Yeah, you totally did, man. And really, really, you know, we're honored to have you on the show today. We really appreciate it. And this is what Simply Bitcoin's all about. We bring on Bitcoiners from all walks of life. Doesn't matter whether you're unknown Bitcoiner, you're well-known Bitcoiner. We try to highlight Bitcoiners from every place all around the world, and we try to bring them on Simply Bitcoin Live. That's literally what this show is all about. Anyways, guys, if you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. Consider subscribing if we feel like we provided you value. But the number one thing you could do to help spread the peaceful Bitcoin revolution is share this content. In fact, share all Bitcoin content. Don't be exclusive. Be inclusive. We love you all. We will see you tomorrow for another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live, 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But, if you do want to join the after party, we are holding it down on Twitter Spaces with our friends over at Swan Bitcoin, best place to build your Bitcoin stack. And we're holding that Twitter Spaces down for another half an hour until 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Opti is going to be holding it down. And make sure to join if you want the party to continue. Anyways, guys, see you tomorrow.
Sugar giddy. Let's go. All right, guys, you already know this is the Simply Bitcoin Spaces, where I bring up all my friends up here, a Bitcoin only space by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. So come up here. Don't be shy. It's all about spreading the signal. I understand the way I communicate is probably not for everyone, but hey, it works for some people. Anyways, I requested some of you guys to come up here and let's continue this conversation. Steve, I don't know if you're in the spaces, but we did have Gen X Bitcoiner come up to request. So if you wanna request to speak again, bro, I sent you another request so that we can come up here and continuously spread the signal. But what a day. What a day.